Lent is a time of repentance. Repentance literally means to turn from your sin and start doing something different. Start living a life of holiness. And so today, in our church service, as I look out over all of you, you've already engaged in one sign of repentance, the physical putting of ashes onto someone's forehead. We do it every Ash Wednesday. A sign that we want to do better, a sign that we are not content to live in our sin, and we realize how mortal our flesh truly is. However, what you may not know is that there used to be another symbol of Christian piety, another symbol of repentance that the church used regularly, especially during the Lenten season. Fasting. Our text from Joel shared these words. "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster." The prophet Joel calls for fasting. And it's a practice that we would all certainly benefit from. You already know this, though. If you're a member of this church, then you know the very words from Luther's Small Catechism. When we're talking about how to prepare for receiving the Lord's Supper, we know that these words come out. In fact, if you were here Sunday, we just confess them together. Who receives the sacrament worthily? Well, fasting and bodily preparation are certainly fine outward training. Even in our very own, in the very first thing that we teach to our children, we learn that fasting is indeed important. But when was the last time you had a fast? Have you ever fasted from anything in your entire life? Well, what is fasting? In a word, fasting means to abstain. Most commonly, it applies to food. You know, we abstain from one food or another for a period of time. Or maybe you abstain from a particular set of foods. You know, we get this in the Bible all the time. For instance, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they abstained from eating the king's rich food. And instead, they ate only vegetables. Okay. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul says that married couples could fast by abstaining from sexual relations for a limited time. And it's for a purpose. Why? Well, that way they might be able to have an increased time for prayer. So if you want a definition for fasting, it's laying aside anything legitimate for a period of time, for a godly purpose. You know, when you fast, it has to be something that doesn't matter. It has to be something that is just totally incidental to your life, and all the better if it's something that you enjoy. Because fasting is a symbol of repentance. And it's certainly fine outward training for the body and for the mind. Because if we're really honest with ourselves, we live in an indulgent culture. I can have anything I want. I can eat anything I want. I can be whoever I want. I don't have to have just one donut. Well, I can have two. Well, I can have six. I can have a dozen if I want. I don't have to settle for old, outdated tech. I'll trade in for the new Samsung Galaxy or the newest iPhone. It doesn't matter. I can have whatever I want. The newest, the shiniest, the brightest, the best. It's all at my fingertips and it's all at yours. And because we live in a culture such as this, what happens when sin crops up in my mind and tells me that I can have something that is against God's commandments? Has my body and my mind been trained to deny myself that indulgence? And the answer is no. If I always get what I want, well, then I can always sin whenever I want. My friends, we can't be self-indulgent with things that God has said that we cannot do. We can't be self-indulgent when it comes to sin. But even when we are, we always seem to have that, well, I can have my cake and eat it too, right? I'll just ask God for forgiveness on Ash Wednesday. I'll just go to the church on Sunday morning. Or maybe I'll just roll the dice and hopefully God will see me as the good person that I really am. No big deal, right? Wrong. This is why for centuries the Christian church and individual members of it have benefited from fasting. It's good training. It's good practice. It's denying the sinful body and mind, and we can all benefit from that. So consider yourself encouraged this Lent. Give something up. Fast in some way, shape, or form. Use fasting to your benefit. Deny your body in something that is completely incidental. Because as you practice denying your body for the things that don't really matter, you'll be able better to resist when things that actually do matter come up. But what I want to point out now is that this fasting thing didn't only just come up in our Old Testament text, it also comes up in the Gospel. Jesus tells us about fasting. And he doesn't say, if you fast, he says, when you fast. Our Lord Christ expects that you will fast during your Christian life. And so assuming you fast this Lent, let his words shape your practice. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You see, when you do something that is good and God-pleasing, we have this tendency, right? You and me, as the sinners that we are, we want to get a pat on the back. We want to parade it around that way. Everybody can see what great Christians we are, or what great people we are. We attempt to exalt ourselves. Maybe even to show God that we're better than the guy next to us. I fast. I have daily devotions. I give X amount of money to charity or into the collection plate. I have an active prayer life. Yet the parade of our good works before others and before God, they don't do anything. Nothing at all. Rend your hearts and not your garments. In other words, God doesn't want your outward show of righteousness. He doesn't care what kind of facade you can put over your sin. What he wants is repentance. He wants your heart to be righteous. He wants you to have this heart of repentance that relies solely on him. Which is really the point of all of this. My friends, return to the Lord with all your heart. Repent and go back to the one who is holy and righteous. Do it with fasting. Do it with weeping and mourning over your sin. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. He doesn't actually want to punish you for all of the evil you've done. He doesn't want to punish you for all of your sin. He doesn't want to punish you for trying to exalt yourself over other people. With ashes on your forehead tonight and with repentance in your hearts, return to the Lord from your sin, who even in the midst of his own fasting for 40 days in the wilderness was still able to resist the temptation of Satan. Return from your sin to the Lord Jesus, the one who never committed one sin in trying to exalt himself above others. Return from your sin to the Lord Jesus, who shows you God's grace and mercy as he pours out his blood and he dies for you on the tree of the cross. and as he dies for the sins of the whole world. Return from your sin to the Lord Jesus, who took on all of God's anger and all of God's wrath for you. Return from your sin to the Lord Jesus, who poured out his steadfast love and his blood given and shed for you in word and sacrament. Return from your sin to the Lord Jesus, whose death and resurrection pronounces this day, you are forgiven. Return to the Lord with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. For he will give you his grace today and all through this Lenten season. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your Lenten fast in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.